for our message this morning. You can turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. I don't feel like I have something that's going to be new for you this morning, but I believe the Word of God can be new every time we read it, and I trust that it will inspire us on today to press on in service for God. I pondered this message at the start of the week and have been thinking of it through, and then I opened up our Sunday school, and there's little things that you'll probably notice that tie together. I didn't do it intentionally, but I think it can go together and it can be an encouragement to us. But Mark chapter 9, I'd like to take the time to read verses 38 to the end of the chapter. Mark 9, 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which can do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire which never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. These are the verses then that I want to pull our message from. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We know this is as Jesus was talking to the multitude on the Sermon on the Mount there. And Matthew 5 verse 13, Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. We all know what salt does. We have it oftentimes on our table. At our house, it's a thing that a lot of times goes with a meal. We all like salt on our stuff. And maybe we like too much. But it brings out the flavor in something. It enhances it. Salt today is such an easy thing that we have. We go to the grocery store, we buy it. It's easy to get. Hasn't been this way always in times past. Times past, there's been some clashes between nations about salt mines, and because they realize the value that is to them. Or maybe you go back to the Roman, and they sometimes paid the soldiers' wages with salt. Salt was very valuable. As Jesus was talking in these days to these people, there was a Dead Sea there, salty. They knew what salt did. There was fishermen there. They knew what salt did. It preserved their fish. So salt is precious. In those days, it was of great value. Today we have a lot of availability to it. We tend to use it without thinking the value that's there. Salt brings out flavor in things. Shared that already. But as it brings out the flavor, it brings more meaning to stuff. I think that's what Jesus is talking here. As it brings the salt, can bring more meaning to life. Little side note, I've stumbled across in studying for this. There's two ways, basically, that salt can go away. Salt can go away with dilution. You can dilute it to a point that something don't taste salty anymore. On your plate, you can understand that. If you dump a little bit too much salt, just get a little more and it'll even it out. But you can dilute it. The other way, it kind of ties together with dilution, but there's also pollution. You can pollute it. A lot of times in their mining of salt, it'll have sand in it. You want to make the salt worthless? Put sand in it. Unless if it's going for the road. But for eating purposes, I wouldn't enjoy it on my food. On the other side of the lake, Seneca Lake, you'll see two towers over there. That is with the salt mine over there. That ran for about a year and got shut down. There was just too much salt that wasn't that good. There was a little bit of shale coming through on some of the salt. Add that to the fact that there was accidents that were happening. And the company couldn't make ends meet. What was there to do but shut it down? Salt can also, in this dilution and pollution, as you expose it to elements, it gets worthless. These people, I understand in studying into it that these people, as they thought of salt, the good, when it laid out in the elements, the salt will wash out and leave a crust on top that they say when you walk over it, it sounds like walking on crunchy snow. But the salt wasn't there. It was worthless. What do you do with it? My father-in-law has an ice cream machine. And he puts ice in there and he puts salt in on top of it and then mixes it up, stirs it up. And it creates that cold to cause the ice cream to form. But off to the side of that ice cream thing, he has a barrel that he collects the water that runs out of there. Because he's found out that if he doesn't have that there and he's on grass, there's no grass that'll grow there. The point I'm getting to is, in these verses, in Matthew chapter 5, as we read that, to throw it out and to trample it underfoot of men, my father-in-law takes that water and uses it for weed control in his driveway. What else is it good for? These people of this day did the same thing. They put it on their fields, it's going to kill the field. So they threw it on the path and got walked over. Salt. As it brings out flavor, let's jump back to some, as it bringing out flavor. In our life today, as Jesus was talking about salt, in our lives, salt. Bring out something in your life. Add more meaning to your life. Yes, salt will bring out a joyous life. John 13, verse 17, happy are ye if ye do them. We studied that as we had the feet washing. Happy are ye if ye do them. Put Jesus salt in your life and you'll be joyous. Salt penetrates. You put it in something and it goes through it. If I had a salt shaker here and shook some into this water, it would go through the water. Do you see a lot of... You put an Alka-Seltzer in something and you see it start fuzzing and fizzing and carrying on and... Do you see that when you put salt in there? No. It goes quietly about its work. But it touches whatever it's going to penetrate. And it's there when you take a bite of something. It does its work quietly. Without a lot of show. I had to think of that in relation to our Sunday school. The Pharisees, the high priests, they were a lot of show. But what was in the heart? Today, we too need to have it in our heart, and it needs to come out slowly. When people rub shoulders with us, they need to know it's there. The salt of Jesus is there. It's rubbing off on them. But it don't need to be a lot of show that goes with it. Willing to do the little things. Salt preserves. We said that the people in that day used it to preserve fish. Salt today. As Jesus was talking here, salt today in this world is going to preserve the world. It'll stop the world in their tracks and make them want to be better. It should. But is the salt coming out of my life that's showing forth in my life doing that? Salt also creates thirst. On a hot day, when I drink a lot of water, sometimes it's good for some salt. You look at Gatorade and there's a lot of salt in there. Our bodies need it. And the last one I share on salt. Salt is a cleansing agent. Maybe I'll back up to it, creates thirst. There's some references here I had put down with it. I'm just going to read them. As we think of salt creating thirst, think of these verses in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 13 through 16. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God hath called us to peace. Verse 16, think about this. As we think of salt and it's drawing a thirst. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Do you catch the thirst that's in there? Of living together, the salt from us can rub off. And encourage them. Creates thirst. All right, cleansing agent. Salt is a cleansing agent. You put it on a wound. And it draws. Maybe that's an old remedy. You have an open sore, or maybe it's even closed yet. Take a Band-Aid and put some salt on it. Pen it in there. Watch it draw. Is the salt from your life drawing people? Where do the people around you turn when they're wounded? Do they come to you for the salt that you can bring and the healing you can bring? All right, well, that's a long introduction to salt, to my message. I have a title. I titled the message, Salt, Good or Bad. Maybe that's not a good title, but that's what I titled it. Salt, good or bad? What's in your life? I'd like to look at the Old Testament for the first part of the message. The Old Testament, as they use salt in their offerings. And just read a few verses on salt as we think of their offerings. And you don't have to turn to these. I got them wrote in my notes here. The first one I have is Leviticus 2:13. In every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Numbers 18, verse 19. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. 2 Chronicles 13:5. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Ezekiel 43, verse 24. And thou shalt offer them before the Lord, and the priest shall cast salt upon them. And they shall offer them up for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Salt was used in the Old Testament. They made covenants with salt. They used it in their offerings. Gave themselves to the Lord. They gave what was valuable to them. Today, what is your sacrifice to the Lord? Ye are the salt of the earth. Are you serious about your Christian life? Are you letting God's light shine in you and His salt be a part of your life? Who was the ones that had this salt? Mark chapter 9. Or we could turn to Matthew 5. Either account. Before it comes to those verses about salt, you will see a list of something ahead of it. Maybe it's one of those blessed attitudes that you need to have in your life. Let's look at Mark chapter 9. We know this passage very well. Thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. How serious are you in your Christian life? How serious are you about going the whole way with God? And I say that for myself too. What takes my attention in this life? What's taking first place in my life? Am I doing what it takes to make it to glory? Brothers and sisters, if we're going to be the salt of the earth, we're going to have to do what it takes.
Because either you have salt or you don't have salt. Is it good or bad?
Are we fighting off temptations? Are we removing that hand, that foot, or that eye? Are we doing the sacrifices it calls for to live victoriously? Second part of the message. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to look at the negative just a little bit. What happens when people fail to let God's salt work in their lives? These are some sobering verses for us today. I think we're going to take the time to read from verse 21 on to the end of the chapter. It'd be good to read the whole chapter, but we don't have the time to do all that. But verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of God, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malice, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. As I look at that whole list that's in there, I think there's a key verse that we want to look at this morning as we think of salt of the earth. Verse 21 and 22. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I'd like to look at 3 points of what happened, maybe that. What can happen that we lose the salt? And what causes salt to fail in our lives so it turns into bad salt? Not doing what it ought to. Verse 21 there. They forgot God's position. They glorified Him not as God. They knew God, but they glorified Him not as God. First place in their life. Your God is what's first in your life. It's serious to think about. What is first in my life, and what is first in your life? They chose they knew Him as God, but they chose to let something else take first place. And they chose a dangerous way to live. The salt failed in their lives. So the question is Christ first in my life? Does He have all my plans? My body? Is your home running under God's
blessing. What about my agenda? We like to run our agendas,
do our things. And when our agendas come under question, then
we get upset. We
start to not enjoy it.
What about when God changes your agenda?
How do you respond then? He deserves to be the first. Let's not be like these people and forget that even though we know God,
that we forget and we glorify Him not as God in our lives.
The second one that I see in this passage here, that the salt didn't take root and work as it ought to. They forgot God's provision. Neither were thankful. God had provided so much for them. And they were ungrateful for it. Because they were looking on a worldly.
In our level down here, we forget to look up and to give God thanks for what we have.
They forgot to look up and give God thanks. And it can come to us today. We too can forget to look up to God and give Him thanks.
Their unthankfulness caused them to be vain in their imagination. They took credit for all that God had given them.
Pride set in. They became self-centered.
Salted life is going to be one that has Christ centered in your life.
May we not be those that are bringing forth bad salt.
The third one I pull out of this passage is verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
They forgot God's personality.
I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit. The Amplified kind of helped with it.
It says this, professing to be smart,
they made simpletons of themselves. Put the world we live in today into that category. They go to all the colleges. They go to all the learning they can.
And finally think that they have figured out where the world came from.
Professing to be wise, they become simpletons.
The Bible says it so clearly. We don't need to go off of a theory somewhere.
We're faced with it on every side about us.
I believe it's one of the key things that can cause our salt to lose its saltness. Because we are faced with that. If you go study into a park somewhere, a state park somewhere, you'll see it everywhere you turn. Questioning the Creator. Man coming up with their own way that things were created.
Rejecting the Creator led to idolatry in these people's lives. Idolatry often leads to immorality, and the world is full of it. Because they question the Creator, the one that made us,
And there's no convenient stopping point. The third part of the message. So how can we maintain a life of salt in the world we live in? How can we maintain a life of salt in the world we live in? Influence. Influence. What's influencing your life? We could have taken this message, and I pondered about it, taking this message and putting influence in there for salt. And just look at the influences that are in our lives, and I trust it has come out some through this message. Watch your influences in your life. How do we maintain a life of salt, of good salt in this world we live in? Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. Start out as a youth. So youth, it should be an encouragement to you to start out in your life with Christ. Press on from there. As it talks about the years draw nigh, and when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When you're sitting in the grandpa's and you're looking back over life, are you going to look with pleasure or with regret? So for the youth, how do you maintain a life of good salt in the world we live in? Start out serving God as a youth. Give Him every area of your life. Turn it all over to Him. Don't hold anything back for self. May we press on. If we've failed, there's forgiveness. Don't let those areas in your life make you feel like you can't get up and go again. Work at maintaining the remembrance of your Creator, the one that has made you, and serve Him faithfully. Second one is I have under how to maintain a life of salt in the world we live in. The influence that can come in our lives from many books about us. And I'm going to use this as a caution. There's many books that can bring an influence into our lives that's going to destroy the salt. So how can we maintain a life of good salt? How much time do you spend in God's Word? How much time do you spend digging into that? And getting the truth that's there. Don't just read it. Understand it. Apply it. Live it. And hear it. Heed what it says. In closing, God has no other substitute for salt. Turn with me back to Mark chapter 9. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Matthew 5. I believe was the verse I was going to pull this from. Sorry.
Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Then verse 16, let your light so shine before men. And it follows right after the salt. Salt and light is often parallel in the Bible. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Concluding thoughts I have. God is no other substitute for salt. God is looking for you to be the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. You're the ones that is supposed to be preserving, drawing, flavoring, enhancing the world about you. If we have the salt as we are called to, we'll live in peace with our brothers and sisters and the world about us. Have salt and live in peace with one another. I'm going to strive to paraphrase verse 50 of Mark chapter 9. I trust I'm not twisting the scriptures. And if you feel that I am, I want to be open to that. But I want us to think about this verse. And I'd like to put influence in the place of salt. Good influence is beneficial. But if our influence, we are, is not bringing out what it should, if our influence is not what it should be, we need to take heed. Go to God's Word and strive to get seasoning for it. In other words, have a changed life. Because the influence that's coming from our lives to the ones about us, the salt, says what's in here. The last part of verse 50. Have good influence within yourselves. Be at peace and live in harmony with one another. May God bless as we are called to be salt in this world that we live in today. Let us kneel for prayer.